Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers and the co-chair of the Endowment for the Business of Government. We created the Endowment in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. Find out more about the Endowment by visiting us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our conversation this morning is with Norman Bowles, Program Director of the FAA Logistics Center in Oklahoma City. Good morning, Norman.
Good morning, Paul. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great. And joining us in our conversation, also from PwC, is John Kaminsky. Good morning, John.
Good morning. How you doing?
Well, Norman, let's talk about the FAA. It's received a lot of attention recently, but I'm guessing that many of our listeners don't know its full range of responsibilities. Could you describe its mission and its activities for our listeners?
The FAA is the one-stop aviation safety organization. Most people know us for our air traffic control system. So if you're going to fly from New York to San Francisco, you're going to go through the air traffic control system. But we also provide the regulation of the airlines and the flight attendants, the pilots, the people who person the airlines. We also, if you have a large airport in your city, federal funds from the FAA have gone into that. We also regulate something that's very unusual, the commercial space transportation. Those rockets that are putting satellites into space are now regulated by the Federal Aviation Administration.
Well, how does the role and activities of the FAA's Logistics Center fit into this broader FAA mission?
When we talk about the air traffic control system, there's something like 45,000 different systems that make up the air traffic control system. These are located in 28,000 locations around the United States. We provide the parts to the air traffic control system, to radar, to the landing systems. We also do what is known as depot level repair. Those things that can't be repaired in the field, we repair in Oklahoma City. We also have traveling teams that go around and repair the radar that are used to track the air traffic control system. We do logistics consulting, and all of this is done on a fee-for-service basis. We now have a new service that we are offering, and it's solutions through a contracting device comprised of 150 companies where people in the FAA who are trying to find additional capability to modernize the air traffic control system can get help.
How big is the logistics center? How many people? What type of budget do you have?
We are about 600 people, 550 so federal employees, and we have another 100 or so contractors. Our revenues are on the order of $120 million a year.
And you described a wide range of activities in terms of the different functions. What type of skills do these employees have?
We have engineers, item managers, technicians, logistics consultants, a wide range of professions and disciplines.
Norman, let's spend some time talking about your career. You and I first met probably about 8 years ago, but tell us a little bit about your career as a change agent in the government.
Well, John, I've had a marvelous career, I think, from that perspective. I've worked in a number of different programs. I started off in the Federal Railroad Administration in the mid-70s and went to the Office of the Secretary of Transportation in a time when the Department of Transportation was relatively new. For those people who are not familiar with the Department of Transportation, we have the Coast Guard, FAA, Federal Highways. At the time that I had gone there, those agencies had come from different places, so the Treasury Department was the one who provided the Coast Guard. FAA was an independent agency. The highway program came from the Department of Commerce. So in the very early years, we were trying to create a consolidated and a unified Department of Transportation. I worked as an internal consultant, and at that time got an opportunity to work with all of those different agencies. At one time, we tried to merge the Federal Highway and the Transit Administration, two organizations with very different cultures, different constituencies. We came very close to being able to do it. During this time, we were consolidating the field, rationalizing the field among all the different organizations. I had an opportunity to work on one of the first studies that recommended privatizing the national and Dulles airports. At that time, they were part of the Department of Transportation. During this time, there was a lot of things going on in transportation. There was deregulation going on, so they were sunsetting the Civil Aeronautics Board. Northeast Corridor Railroad system back in those days failed, and so the federal government did a takeover, and we created a new organization called the United States Railway Association. And so it was in that period of time that I had the opportunity to work with a lot of different programs and learn a lot about the different cultures of organizations and how you lead them through a change period. In 1984, President Reagan made the decision that we were going to privatize commercial space transportation, the launch of rockets into space. At that time, up to that time, it had all been done by NASA and by the Air Force. Secretary of Transportation Elizabeth Thole wanted that function, and so did a number of other agencies. But the argument that won the day, in terms of which agency got it, was the agency that said this industry was going to have to be regulated in a brand new and an entirely different way. So I had the great experience of being tasked with building that brand new regulatory function, and I did that for 10 years. It was really quite a challenge because of a number of things. Number one was that the Air Force and NASA dominated space at that time, and in the privatization effort, they could be both a support, but they also could be a barrier. The second thing that made it a challenge was there was a really a very different view between the federal government about what space should be used for and the private sector, which saw it as a great place to for commercial exploitation. And then the other challenge that I found that was a very broadening experience is it involved a lot of work with a brand new industry as well as some established industries. It involved a lot of work with the Hill, with the public, and the press. So in that period of time, I got to do a lot of firsts for the federal government. I licensed the first commercial space launches, approved the first commercial space launch site, set the insurance requirements for a brand new industry, and even had the distinction of being the first one to approve space for the use of burial of human remains. So it was quite challenging, and it was a very different experience. The thing that I came away from that one with is that you couldn't go on the assumptions of what conventional wisdom were and how things ought to be, because every time you turned around, somebody had a different idea than what was the prevailing thought. After that, 1995 is when I got to meet you, John, is when I went to the National Performance Review. That was another exciting experience, and one in which I really got an opportunity to see the best of the change leaders in the federal government. During that time, I was on a team lead that was overseeing and facilitating changes that were taking place in seven different cabinet agencies. I had the privilege to be a project director for a National Performance Review book and to participate in a number of different other changes. In 1996, mid-96 is when I went to the Logistics Center, and I've been leading their effort ever since.
Tell us about your role as the program director.
As the program director, I'm the senior official in the Logistics Center. It's a leadership position that I really see primarily as a change leadership. The Logistics Center has a very interesting place within the air traffic control system. It's actually a leverage point that we can talk about a little bit later. And if you can introduce changes into the Logistics Center, they actually have a tendency to carry all the way through into other parts of the FAA and really boost the rest of the agency's performance.
Was there any one job, and as you describe your career, that best prepared you for this present job?
I think it was the culmination of all of those jobs. In the first 10 years, it was dealing with all those different agencies was the one thing I could tell you would be that whatever you would find one agency thought was illegal, another agency was doing. And if anything, that is becomes that real beneficial perspective of that part of my career, as well as working the National Performance Review, is that most people in the government's perspective of what's doable is limited by their own imagination or by their own perception of the rules. And that's actually, I think, is one of the biggest impediments to the change in government. We really are bound at times by narrow interpretations of the rules that are founded by your own agency cultures.
Did you plan the changes you made throughout your career?
Each job seemed to come at the right time in the right place, and it almost seemed to be a natural segue. So the first 10 years gave me a lot of exposure to different regulatory programs. And the reason that I think I was selected to lead the one for the space program and build the regulatory program for that was because I was able to see that there were a multitude of different regulatory strategies and approaches. And had I only been in one agency, I never would have been able to see that. Then going from space to NPR was an easy jump because the concepts of dealing with different agencies on a fairly big change plane was fairly easy to do. And besides, space is really an out-of-the-box experience.
Come back with us after the break as we continue our discussion with Norman Bowles of the FAA Logistics Center. We'll ask him about the changes that have been taking place. In particular, we'll ask him why they became ISO 9000 certified. If you don't know what ISO 9000 is, you'll learn more when the Business of Government Hour returns.